I appreciated all the prayers, but Paul's prayer this morning of adoration is my favorite form of prayer. He just praised our God, and he's deserving of our praise. When I heard Jerry Jr. preach, I almost changed my subject. I got to thinking about the Old Testament when Solomon was dedicating the temple, and when the Lord came and said, when the difficult times come, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and get rid of their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. Anybody in here that's 30 years or older, you've seen the darkness approach our land. I still love America. There's no place like it. I was in the Philippines when the American ambassador came to the town where I lived. They invited me to come to his reception. I did. I met him. Wonderful fellow. But they had about 100 young people come in, and they sung all of our patriotic hymns. I was wandering through the crowd and meeting different people, and I was standing beside the ambassador when they started to sing. And I looked across the room where my wife was sitting. Tears were rolling down her cheeks, and then they began to roll down mine. I love our country. I cannot stand what's happening to our country. Since Roe versus Wade, we have killed 58 million babies by abortion. God doesn't laugh at that great sin that we've done legally. Homosexuality is just a regular lifestyle, they say. On the internet, one third is pornography. We can't put the Ten Commandments on the wall of any public building. We can't have prayer in our schools in the name of Jesus Christ. Not even at a football game. God help us. He's our only hope. Politics is not going to save us. I think we ought to do the best we can to elect God-honoring men and women. But we've got to depend on the Lord. Amen. May a remnant aid us. Now, forgive me, I just got to talk about something a little more positive. In John chapter 13, it's a particular scripture that we all love. And the reason why, it teaches feet washing there. It's not just our tradition. It's a God-honoring scriptural tradition. But did you notice? It's a rebuke. You're all clean, but not all. Your feet are still dirty. And you're to wash each other's feet. It's teaching a lesson that all of us tend to go astray. We have not lost that old man. He'll be with us till we die. And we need to help each other. Then he began to tell them some things that greatly discouraged them and gave them an abundance of heart trouble. He said, I'm going to leave you. And where I go, you can't go. At least not now. Can you imagine? These 12 men had him for 3 years. Every time they got in trouble, he got them out of trouble. If they didn't have food, he just took a few loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 men, plus probably 10,000, maybe 15,000 people. I'd kind of like to have him around my house. The point is, they were fearful. They thought he was the Christ. They thought that he was going to rule over Rome. And it wasn't going to happen. Then he told them, as in the Lord's Supper, one of you is going to betray me. Did you know what they said? They all said, is it I? Then he turned to Judas Iscariot, handed him a piece of sop. That was a biscuit, we'd call it. And he said, the one I give this sop. They didn't understand that. They didn't know what he was even talking about. And he turned to Judas and said, what you do it quickly. And it got worse. He said, quoting an Old Testament scripture, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep scattered. What he told them was, I'm going to be crucified. And y'all are going to be on your own. You'll be scattered. Can you imagine those disciples that have been with him for 3 years? Then Peter said, I'm not so, Lord. That won't happen. I'll lay down my life for you. And he turns to his closest disciple before the sun breaks out and the cock crows. You'll deny me 3 times. These brethren had heart trouble. You thought I was going to tell you something good, didn't you? Let's go to 14, because in 14 we find the cure of a troubled heart. It begins, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now here's what he's saying. Before I got on the scene, before I was born in Bethlehem, before I led y'all, you trusted God and you've never seen him. As you believed in God, believe the same way in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. Now, don't get too excited. He's not talking about a place on the hill overlooking your estate. The term mansion means permanent dwelling place. You see, all we know in this world is change. All we know while we're here, why, it was just a few days ago, I was footloose and fancy free. Now I got 24 kids. That's called change. That's all we know. I'm not near as strong as I used to be. I can't do everything I want to do. And that's just the way it is. Isn't that right? Yeah. But it's going to get better. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. You thought the angels were going to come get you. No, sir, it's better than that. The Lord's going to come get us. And I tell you what, to talk about heaven that's been bought by grace, if that doesn't help your feelings, I'm run out. That will encourage God's people. Oh, may we see the beauty in this world. I don't care who you are and how old you are, how young you are. You've got some problems in your future, but they will be cured. I was in the hospital with one of the members while I was serving Bethany, and he had cancer. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm sorry, folks. I've got to go home. I went home, and I couldn't sleep. I turned around and drove right back to the hospital to see him the moment he died. And the wife turned to me and said, Brother Harder, you said the Lord's got power to cure him. And I looked at her with tears running down her cheek. I said, he just did.
Amen. Amen.
I know you miss June, but she's better off than you are. And may we all turn even at death and make it a celebration. Philip asked him, said, Lord, if you show us the Father, This is number two. I gave you number one. I've got six, so hang on. He said, if you show us the Father, that suffices us. And the Lord looked at him and said, I've been so long with you, and don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He started talking about a Trinity. One of my children the other day said, Daddy, explain the Trinity to me. And I said, well, you know, I've got lots of illustrations. You know, there's water and there's ice and mist. But that doesn't do the job. Oh, there's also a tree, the roots and the foliage. But that doesn't do it either. But the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one God. We are not polytheistic. That is one God. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, you remember back in the Old Testament, in the very opening of the Bible, the word for God was Elohim. It means three or more. And then they together said, let us make man in our image. The Son is God. The Gospel of John, it's different than the other three Gospels. They each have their purposes. But the purpose of John is to describe Jesus Christ in divine terms. He's God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it's what he's telling Philip. He said, man, I've been with you all this time. Hadn't you figured it out? That I'm God. Nobody can do the things I do unless they were God. I love a comment that C.S. Lewis made in the chapter of the book, Mere Christianity. The title of that chapter, Liar, Lunatic, or Lord? He said, don't you tell me he's a good teacher. Don't you tell me he was a wonderful man. Don't you tell me about grace. Either what he said was true or he's a liar. Or he's lost his mind. You can turn through the I Am's, the seven mentioned in John, where they describe Christ and he describes himself. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me shall never die. I am the bread of life. If you partake of that, you'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. My friends, he's God. And he's explaining to Philip, don't let your heart be troubled. You're talking to God. And it even gets better. He tells them, if you ask anything in my name, I hear it. Now, don't ever get the idea that God is a genie and he's giving you whatever you wish or desire. That's not it at all. If you ask in my name, there are conditions on prayer. But what he's saying, if you're hurting and your heart's troubled, if you have a broken heart, you pray, he will hear. Reading about a preacher in London, and he made the statement, if preachers would preach to broken hearts, their pews would be full. And he's right, because there's answers in God's word for broken-hearted sinners. And that's what I am. It continues to get good. He then told them, he says, if I don't go, I'll not send a comforter. And I'm going, so you'll get a comforter. The term comfort, you're thinking maybe about a pillow where you can sleep. The term comfort means, come is a Latin word for with. Fort is a Latin word for strength. God will give you strength for your day. My friends, I rejoice. He is yet with us. Oh, the next one. This is part of the same one, by the way. I think I'm on three. I might be on four, but you just will follow me. I will not leave you comfortless. So I look comfortless up. It's not the same word as the comforter. The comforter is a paraclete, one that stands along beside you and holds you up. But the term comforter means orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. There's not a lot of things I know a whole lot about. But I know a good bit about orphans. An orphan's a little child. 2, 3, 4, 5. And they've got no parent. They have no father. They have no mother. They're lost. One of the books I read about adopting children was, it's actually worse on a child to be abandoned than to be punished wrongly. They know they've got somebody there. I don't want to be an orphan. I want a Heavenly Father that cares and looks after me. I want to know there's somebody running this world. I want to know my God's sovereign. He has all things under His control. There's nothing that happens that He either causes or allows to be. That's the kind of God we have. He will not leave us orphaned. He continues to give us good stuff. In the 21st verse, He says, the Father loves you. My father was not a particularly religious man. Matter of fact, he said, son, I'd rather watch church on television. And when they pass the plate, I just turn it off. That wasn't a good... He was a good father, and he taught me morality. He had a work ethic better than anybody ever knew. He taught me in abundance, and I love my father. But I've got a Heavenly Father that loves me. And He's perfect. And He works for our good. Even the difficulties and distress that we go through teach us. Pain is a good thing. Did you know if you didn't have pain, you'd soon destroy your hands and feet? God gives it for a reason. And in life, He disciplines us. I knew my father was my father. Because whenever he beat somebody, it was me. He didn't beat anybody else in the community. But every person he loved, not my father, but God. He chastens everyone He loves. And if you're without chastisement, you're illegitimate. You're not a son. So when you do that which is wrong and you know it's wrong and you feel bad, say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for not letting me get away with that. I was with one of your kin folks, guy hunting Alabama. And we were dropping, he said, I've got something to do. And we dropped by the post office. And it was the day when taxes were due. And he stuck in the mailbox. I said, well, if you didn't do that, you would be a politician. You'd be caught. He looked at me and says, I'd be caught whether I'm a politician or not. God always knows what I'm doing. And he's right. He's right. God chastens His own. He turns to them in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. few weeks ago, a lady came to me and says, Brother Harder, would you like to go to the beach? I said, I think that's a good idea. I says, how's that going to happen? Says, well, one of my children own a house in on the beach outside Jacksonville. I'll give it to you for a week. I hooked her neck right there on the spot. Don't you love to go to a beach and just sit there and watch those waves come in? It soothes. I built a house, a log cabin, on a creek. Matter of fact, I probably got too close to the creek. I got flooded once, but anyway, I loved it. I had a porch on the side. I'd sit there and let those water run over those rocks, and it was just excitement. That peace doesn't last. But God gives a peace that lasts. He comforted them. He loved them. And he cured their heart trouble. And I'm just about finished with my discourse. I wanted to try to stay within my limit. And I've left out some good stuff I wanted to share with you. But I want you to know, if you're hurting, if the troubles have come, if you've lost a husband, if you've lost a wife, if you lost a child, if a child ran away or a child got expectant when they should not have. I know the troubles. I've been there. But we've got a God that solves all of our troubles here and the world yet to come. And one day we'll live with Him forever. Thank you for your kind attention.